Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. We are here at 2022 Tour de France in Copenhagen, and joining me is a special guest. Matt Stevens, you're here for the 3 weeks with me, which is great. We haven't formed our podcast combination together since 2019, I think it was, the last time we did it. Maybe 2020, early in COVID.
I think we've done a couple little guest pods, but this is the first time we've properly been rolling for best part. It's going to be like 16 or 17 pods throughout the tour. This is properly exciting, isn't it? And we're in a big shiny lobby.
Your juices going, this.
It does. Mm. I'm salivating at the thought of all the wonderful podness that's going to happen over the next 3 weeks.
Great stuff. Today, what do you reckon today then, Matt? I mean, I was on the ground on the motorbike. I got absolutely drenched.
Yeah, you were shivering, weren't you?
I was. It was very cold.
It was weird. It was a mild day, but a wet day. Yeah. But you were I mean, it's different on the
motorbike. And then it was quite humid towards the end of the day,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
So,
but it was changing conditions. I know they forecast it, but I think it added a bit of drama to the race. I think it was a surprising winner.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone backed Yves Lampaert to win.
Actually, I was at the team bus of Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, and this random Danish dude came up to me, and he said, "Matt," I said, "Oh, hi." He said, "One of my friends decided that he thought Yves Lampaert was going to win." And he put like €20 on it,
really?
65 to 1, and it came home. So maybe he knew something, but no, I mean,
that thing is a couple of beers here in Denmark.
I think it might. I think it was about €2,000 that he won. But no, I think you're quite right. It was a surprise performance. But when you actually look at Yves Lampaert over the last couple of months, he won the TT in the Baloise Tour of Belgium, second or third in the Belgian TT champs. No, second, wasn't he?
Yeah.
By only a handful of seconds to Remco.
Yeah.
So, but he's still managed to be an outlier. I think that just says a lot about how many good TT riders are here. You can be excellent, but I don't think anybody would have even mentioned him.
No, and you can't say that he had a bit of luck or anything like that, because he went off in the harshest conditions, I think, or was certainly after. From what I saw, Geraint Thomas went off in the worst. He was really chucking it down when G went off. Funny enough, he forgot to take his vest off, didn't he?
He did. He forgot to take his gilet off. That was I had a chat with him at the bus afterwards, and I said, because I didn't know. I said, how did that go? Before we rolled the interview, and he said, rubbish. He said, absolutely, I completely screwed up. He said, I felt really good, but I was just really nervous in all the corners. And then about 2K in, there was something flapping around, and he looked down, and he had his gilet on still, which he partially unzipped.
Yeah.
So he. And then that cracked him even more. So, because everybody was saying, go steady in the corners, go steady in the corners. Then he had his gilet on. So he said his legs felt great, but mentally it was.
I could tell that he was cautious in the corners, but it was, you know, he doesn't want to leave his tour on the road there.
Totally.
And I've followed quite a few of them. Ganna just never looked like he was really on it, but he went off in sort of harsh conditions as well. Van Aert was looking good. Pogacar was a great ride.
That's in third place on the
phenomenal.
Thing, yeah.
But the one that really amazed me, even though it was drying conditions towards the end, was Tom Pidcock. He was absolutely, to watch him.
15th, yeah.
Yeah, but it was more the way his flat speed, you know, wasn't on, you know, no comparison to the likes of Ganna and that when he was in a straight line. But the way he took the corners and stuff, it was a joy to watch. His bike handling skills were amazing in changing conditions, you know, wet, dry, the way he shot through the corners and scraping the barriers on the way out and, I think he'll really flourish this 3 weeks, Tom, and I'm looking forward to it.
I know our colleague Hannah Walker interviewed Tom when he finished, and before we did the chat with him, we were chatting about what questions to ask him. So we're definitely asking about the TT, but it's more about the experience of the tour. And I've not seen the interview actually, Brad, but what Hannah was saying was that he became quite emotional. He said because his dad texted him before the start to say this is what you finally wanted. I mean, think of all the stuff Tom's already won, Olympic champion and stuff. He said he's always wanted to ride the tour. And his dad apparently on the text said he loved him. And he got, and he said, my dad doesn't normally do that.
Right.
So it's quite, and Hannah said it's really quite powerful. He was properly like dewy eyed and emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
It's massive, isn't it? Mate, you've done it enough times, mate. You bloody won the thing, haven't you? But for some young riders, just being on the start line of any Grand Tour, let alone the Tour, and for a rider of his calibre, it just shows why the Tour is so special, isn't it? You know, that's what it's
like.
No
other race. And I was thinking that when I was riding behind him today, actually, that this is his first race, and he's already a superstar of the sport, isn't he? But we keep talking about him in the sense that he's a talent. But he's almost, you know, surpassed that now, and he's a champion in his own right. But we still sort of mark him as a talent in terms of what he still could achieve in the sport. And you know, you wouldn't put it past him to win the Tour one day. But what an experience this is going to be for him. And I went drifted round to the Ineos bus today and kind of stayed away a little bit because I was looking for the guy, the Oakley guy, was trying to meet me there. I got closer and closer to the bus as one or two people called me over and said hi, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually I was at the barriers of the bus and chatting with Carsten Jepsen. Steve Cummins was there. We were having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Rod Illingworth. And it's quite a change of personnel there now.
It's very different looking.
It's still got, you know, pepperings of sort of what Team Sky was. But it was almost a different team now.
Yeah.
And I don't know half the faces there. But it has a good feel about it this year, Ineos. It's got a really good feel about it. It's got a relaxed feel. They're almost like they've almost shook the monkey off their back of Team Sky and the Froome era and things like that. And it feels like a new era under Rod.
Yeah.
And a young team they're definitely more approachable now than they were a couple of years ago. It feels like that anyway. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. It must be interesting for you. You know, when we were back at the Tour for the first time in 2019, wasn't it? And you were a little bit cautious about going to speak to Dave and everybody else, but do you still feel that now a little bit? I mean,
I don't know, but you seem
to have just warmed to it now.
No, it's fine now.
But that's
I think that was part and parcel of who I was then. I was a bit self-conscious and things like that. And it was, you know, it's hard coming back into a sport that you loved and that you ended up hated when you left. So, and it's easy now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can walk around the compound in that leather jacket like the Terminator. And
yeah. You did look a little bit like the Terminator.
I do feel like the Terminator.
Just needed that like one red eye.
It's great today. Today was one of the best things happened to me today. I always say he's my hero. I've got so many childhood heroes from the 90s, but one of my Danish childhood heroes.
Is it Rolf?
Rolf Sørensen from Denmark.
Rolf Sørensen, yeah.
He came up to me, gave me a big hug.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
And that hug stopped the urge to lick his face.
That's good, because
which is what I normally get the urge to do with my heroes.
Well, thank goodness for that, because it could have been embarrassing for everybody.
But they gave me a big hug, and I said, my daughter's with me, and I introduced him to my daughter. I said, this is Rolf Sørensen from Denmark, who's my hero. And then Rolf said, you are my hero. So it was lovely. It was just, and that, yeah, I don't know.
It was a classy
that will never leave me, though, that kind of being at the Tour and meeting one of your heroes.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
And then we saw Brian, didn't we? Brian came up.
We saw Brian strolling down the home straight, loving the attention.
Oh, he was like...
Reveling in it.
It was top to toe in Paul Smith. It was like a slightly older Danish Liam Gallagher walking down the... and just loving it.
My daughter actually said, is that David Coulthard walking down there?
He has got the look of like David Coulthard's dad, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A little bit.
But yeah, I mean, Brian was loving it. And David, I think it's great for all those guys, because I was talking to another Danish friend of mine last night, Morten Ogbo from Denmark.
Right, yeah.
And we're saying that Bjarne originally wasn't invited to the race because of obviously the problems and things, but he's actually been invited now. And I think it's a real celebration for those guys, Jesper Skibby and Bo Hamburger and all these guys, because they were the catalyst on Bjarne's Tour win, whether people like it or not, you know, regardless of whether he took it or not, it was the catalyst in 96 for why Danish cycling is where it is today. Yeah. You know, the boom in it. And those guys are all household names in this country. And Danish riders have got 10 riders at the start line this year in the Tour de France. And I think it's, you know, it's great that he can be at the race because, you know, he's revered, loved and hated in Denmark. And Brian is fated and Jesper Skibby is loved. And Rolf Sørensen is just a household name here, you know.
It was a special, just to go back to your very first question about how did it go. I mean, it was great to be back on the ground, but the atmosphere, it was electric.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a very long and slow recon of the course. It's quite
long. The rain almost stopped that electricity, I think. It almost made it a bit flat.
I suppose it would, though, wouldn't it?
Because
when we went out earlier on, because it was been so warm, 22, 23 degrees, sunny, a lot of people weren't prepared for the rain. So I guess it did dampen the spirits a bit. But my feeling earlier on was there was a real energy within the crowd. And talking about the superstars of the danger sport. Clearly, there's so many cycling fans in this country. Yeah. They absolutely love it, don't they? It was wonderful. It was palpable. It's such a
contrast to France, though, isn't it? Because I was sat there on the motorbike following Chris Froome today, and he got a big ovation coming off the ramp. They love him here.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, obviously we've seen in the past, it's sad at times. Certainly a couple of years ago, he was getting booed in France.
Yes.
And it's a stark contrast. It's a stark contrast to France that, you know, they cheer everyone here. They're just real fans of the sport. So it's odd being at the Tour de France in Denmark with a nice crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we love the French, but they can be quite partisan from time. They make their feelings known.
Yeah.
And Chris, in the 2019 tour especially, it was actually quite... uncomfortable. It was really quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But as you say, time has passed. But yeah, there's just a joy, isn't there, here? I mean, they absolutely love it. I mean, just a wonderful people as well. Just smiling faces, happy. Just a wonderful way to start the tour off. There was, talking about the crowd and the atmosphere, the electric atmosphere, there was a wonderful moment. I think it was with about 800 metres to go where the riders or the course went under one of the main roads.
I've seen
this. Bridge. Yeah, and the crowd are chanting his name. I think we might have...
We've got that audio now.
Bit, yeah.
Let's play it out, Pete.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a football crowd.
It is. And they're chanting for a Danish rider who's finished up there in the tour. Obviously, we're still at the start of the tour now, but having seen the GC guys, they were all pretty close together, weren't they?
Yeah.
Who are you putting your money on for 3 weeks' time?
Still Pogacar.
See, now I've swayed the last few days, and I keep saying Pogacar just because of the way I saw him at Strada this year in Tirreno, and the kids immense Tour of Flanders. And his ride today was incredible as well. So I would stick with Pogacar. I think Roglic, I don't know if he did a good ride today. I think he was only 8 seconds behind.
Yeah, so Roglic was eighth. Vingegaard finished on the same time as him, but there was only 25
seconds. So nothing between them two. I think it's going
to
be a real battle. And obviously, those two are on the same team. So I think that's where they're going to have to use their numbers against Pogacar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, then you've got Geraint Thomas and these guys. But Vingegaard, for me, is more of an outside, more of a chance of winning out of the Jumbo-Visma chance than him. I think Vingegaard will outclimb Roglic in the mountains and be the only one capable of climbing with Pogacar.
When you look at how young Vingegaard is, relatively young he is as well, and there was a couple of moments where I was watching the Dauphiné and the stage when Vingegaard went clear with Roglic, and there's a few moments where in the last couple of Ks, and it was the stage where Ben O'Connor was chasing behind, where he moved up to secure third overall, where Vingegaard had to wait, and he was gapping Roglic, and he obviously had to wait for him. But I think you're right. There's something like Roglic. He's still improving, but he's a slightly older rider, and he's maybe
plateaued now, isn't he?
It's a guy like Roglic, using the word plateauing, it maybe is a bit unflattering, but when you really look at it forensically and strip away the emotion, Vingegaard is on the ascendancy.
Yeah.
And the key thing for me in the pre-race interviews leading into this post Dauphiné, which might have been, because he's a very outspoken young man, he's really clear, he's confident. When asked about the chance of the tour, he said, "Yeah, I think I can. I think I can win. I think there's two of us, but I don't know who the leader is. It wasn't. I'm going to be working for Roglic. That they are. He is a.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's going to be quite interesting how they manage that between them. Yeah. But what they need to manage it, because the only way I don't think anybody can pound for pound beat Pogacar. You need to be smart, and you need a team with two distinct leaders who are willing to. One's willing to lose. I think that's what they've got to try and do, in my opinion."
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think if anyone can do it, Jumbo-Visma can.
Yeah.
And I think Roglic is the type of leader who's well respected in that team. I think he's got good relationships with everyone within that team. I don't know much about Vingegaard. Obviously, you say he's quite outspoken. I've never heard him do interviews.
What is outspoken? He's just very. That's maybe a bit harsh. He's very clear. Shall we just pause for a second?
Two fellas just come out of the bar.
Two
slightly tipsy.
Possibly. I mean, but it, you know, it's fine, isn't it? I mean, this is a live environment. This is the wonderful thing about the podcast that we do on the tour. We're on the tour. We could be in a bar one day. We could be
in a
van.
That could have been us last night.
One day we could be in a lay-by, you know, repairing a puncture, God forbid. Or we could be in a really shiny lobby that's very echoey. And here we are.
Here we are.
And I've got a Baileys on the go.
It's a big joy, Baileys.
Mate, let's not go into it, but yes.
Is it like a cold hot chocolate?
It's like a cold hot chocolate with coffee and booze in it. Yeah. I mean,
I've never had one.
What?
No, I've never had a Baileys.
Right, have a sip.
Let me have a sip of that.
This is live on air. Oh wait, well, it's something special.
Oh no, that's nice.
That's nice.
That is nice. No, look, where you're coming from
your
that.
Face is yeah.
I've had a White Russian.
That's very, very nice. Very
that's
smooth.
Cooler, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
that is nice. That
yeah, I don't have ice in mine.
Do you like? They do a mint Baileys, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do.
What's that like?
Really nice. Yeah. Not, I mean, just
that is nice, Matt.
Yeah, you're yeah.
I like that.
They are indeed.
They are.
They're
not Baileys.
And also, we don't recommend. I mean,
if Baileys fancy sponsoring the podcast, then contact Eurosport.
But also drink responsibly.
No, in fact, don't contact Eurosport. Contact me direct.
No, and can you just give them my number as well?
And Matt's number.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll tag them in. Let me take a photo and tag them
responsibly,
in.
Folks.
Baileys. We're going to tag them in and see if they get back to me. Baileys UK.
Here we go. Oh no! Yeah. Baileys official. Tag me in really tiny, so I'll really share. Just tag me in really tiny in the corner.
So off the back of the Baileys there, we've got a reception full of people again, so we'll just carry on, Matt,
yep.
See if we can get through this one. Yeah, so we were talking about Vingegaard there, and obviously his potential challenge to Rolich. Pogacar still the clear favourite after today finishing third.
Yep.
Wout van Aert for green?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it has to be. I can't see anyone challenging him.
I think the rider, actually, I can, and it's Mathieu van der Poel, but
of course.
Van der Poel can't gallop in a bunch sprint quite like Van Aert. We've seen that, haven't we?
Yeah, you know what number Mathieu is this year?
No, I don't, actually.
101.
101, right, okay.
Well, that was the number I was when I won the tour.
There we go.
10 years on, so but yeah, a little bit of a few stats there for you.
Yeah.
History.
But I think we can't not start this Tour de France podcast off without a bit of a shout out to some notable absentees here. You know,
yeah.
De Koninck Quickstep. Sorry, not De Koninck Quickstep. I will get it right. Quickstep Alphenvinyl, because it's now Alpecin De Koninck, isn't it? Blimey, let's get my teams right. Mark Cavendish isn't here.
Yeah.
And if you look at social media over the last few days, especially after Cav won the National Road Championships in insane fashion,
yeah.
And me and Hannah had the privilege of commentating on the race, and it just blew my mind out. Just the strength and the drive and the belief that he had. Just so incredible self-belief that Cav has had. And for him not to come to the tour was cruel. And I think the manner, I think, in which that he found out about his non-selection was, I'll be honest with you, I think it was disgraceful.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not singling anyone out in particular, but clearly, you know, a rider of my... No, and
why
actually,
is that?
Any rider who isn't picked for the tour should be told on a phone call, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it is. You know,
no, I don't quite understand that whole thing around that.
And he's done so much for that team. You know, this is his second stint at the team.
Well, the coverage he brings and the you know, what he brings to that team, just in his presence alone, is, you know, enough to, there's plenty of teams that would have him at this race and get success off of his presence. None of it makes sense. And, you know, we could sit here dissecting it all day.
Yep.
I think he's took it really well, Mark. I think he's shown what a champion he is. And I almost feel like he's got a new lease of life, that he's got a couple more years in him now.
Yeah, he wants to ride for another couple of years,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think what he's going to do the stripes proud again, isn't he? You know, with,
absolutely.
You know, we know how much it means to anybody who wins that jersey, but
he's going to rock it.
Yeah. We've both had a stint in it. Thanks, mate. I'll just shoehorn that in. in a slightly different era, but he is driven, isn't he? And he's 37 years of age, and he looks stronger and leaner than ever. But it's a shame. It's a shame as we're here. But he has, to, you know, pick up on your point, Brad, he has had so much, you know, the dignity with which he's carried
himself
after that decision is exemplary. And he can hold his head high.
Yeah.
And we've got the rest of the year. And he's got 12 months in that beautiful jersey. So
yeah.
And there's going to be a lot more wins to come, I think, from Mark.
So tomorrow's stage, Matt. Roskilde to...
Nyborg.
Which also entails the big bridge we're going across tomorrow, which all the talk is of. 3 kilometres after the bridge is the finish.
Yeah.
But 90 kilometres along the coast with potential crosswinds.
Yeah, it's an interesting stage, isn't it? It's a primarily that they head due west, start in Nyborg, go cross-country to the coast. They head in the north-westerly direction. Then and we understand from the latest meteo information that when they're going to have a crosswind for 90 Ks, they basically follow the coast, and then they go across the bridge.
Yeah.
And we know expose the bridge. The bridge apparently is in two parts as well. The first part of the bridge, then go to an island briefly on land, then go on over another part of the bridge. But it's exposed, and we understand, right, Pete, that the wind's maybe going to shift round, so it should be the wind that might break this race up as well. 60 metres above the sea, it's the highest point of tomorrow's stage. And then, as you say, they just swing a right actually off the bridge with that in that last 3Ks. And looking at the wind as well, that'll be a cross tailwind for the finish. And when you look at all the different impact factors, it's the first road stage, stress one, stress two, GC riders, we know what the team meetings are going to be tonight. You've got to be at the front. And then the sprint teams, because there's only 6 nailed on sprint stages, really, maybe 7 in this tour.
Mm.
So much at stake. And for me, it just spells chaos.
Yeah. Adler, who would you like to see win tomorrow? Who do you think is going to win? Who would you like to see win?
That's a difficult one. Who would I like to see?
I'd love to see Mads Pedersen win tomorrow.
Yeah? I'd have a Dane winning. I mean, he's really the only fast.
Well, he goes through where he lives first after 20K. We go through where Mads lives. But I just think he's a great rider. I love him. I think he's a great guy. And he got 6th today in the prologue, so he's in good shape. But, you know, what it would mean to Denmark to him to
That'd
win the stage tomorrow,
it?
You know. But, you know, and we know he can sprint. He got 2nd a couple of years ago on the opening stage, didn't he? Nice, I think it was.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's Quickstep have obviously got a ride tomorrow. They've got the yellow jersey. They can obviously keep your man, what's he, the sprinter?
Yves Lampard.
And the sprinter they have.
Fabio.
Which,
Fabio,
you know, he's got a lot to live up to now with the non-inclusion of Mark Cavendish, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's got, but, you know, I'm sure he's a great rider, isn't he?
I think you don't, this is the thing.
Other than that, we have sprint names. In terms of sprint names, have we got, who else we got here?
Groenewegen, Ewan.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how Groenewegen goes.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely to see him win a stage after where he's sort of rebirthed the last few years.
Yeah. And he's in a completely new team. And when you look at the bike exchange squad, they've got the only rider that with any GC hope, I mean, we're talking about 15th or something like that, or any, is Nick Schultz. So the team is essentially built. We've got Matthews for the possible green jersey because of his versatility. But essentially the team, for the first time for Bike Exchange, no real GC hope. That's not, you know, taking anything away from Nick. It's all about Groenewegen. So they have a really different look to the team.
On that Groenewegen issue, I know it was a couple of years ago now, but have those two been head-to-head since all that? Him and Jakobsen?
I don't... We'll have to double check.
So from a start point of view, it's great to see them both back at the Tour de France.
Do you know, I think they have. I think early this year, there was one race where they've actually gone head-to-head. And I think it might have been... I need to double check, but they have once.
But and 2 years on
they've
from
both
that,
beaten each other in the same race this year.
Yeah, but 2 years on from that race, it's great to see him back, isn't it? At the Tour de France, the highest level. They could be going head to head for 1 and 2 on the stage tomorrow, couldn't they?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And I'm not too sure if they still get on or they don't get on or they're still in legal action and things like that, but it's just from a sporting level, it's great to see him back on the at the Tour de France.
Yeah, when you look at that incident in Poland a couple of years ago now, I mean, the fact they're both now winning big bike races and we've got them head-to-head, it's not about it being a grudge match, it's just about them both remaining, just doing what they do best.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a clean sprint, and that's exciting because they're both, for different reasons, completely different reasons, been through their own personal hell.
Yeah,
let's be honest with you. So yeah, it will be, it's going to be, I think it's going to be great to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got those... It's a bit of everything tomorrow. We've got there'll be a breakaway, I think, to try and vie for those KOMs. There's always teams wanting to get in a break to get one of the first intermediate jerseys, get the spotted jersey. You've got the sprint that comes after about 126K as well. The first real proper rendezvous to see the riders that are going to go for the green jersey. And then, of course, we've got the bridge, which comes really deep into the race as well. And I'm wondering if any GC guys will get punted on that one. It's for just an opening flat stage, I think there's a lot at stake. I think it could be brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it for the Bradley Wiggins Show for today. We'll be having another podcast tomorrow after that stage is finished. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Bradley. Maybe we're in a different lobby, but we'll get some more Baileys next time as well.
We will. Definitely Baileys tomorrow night. I've tagged Baileys in on Instagram, so hopefully they'll be back to us by then.
Let's
and
hope so.
It'll be the Bradley Wiggins Show sponsored by Baileys.
I'm going to sleep well tonight.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.